Hey, this is Pat of the Pat McGee Band, and you're listening to the Not Old Better Show.
Welcome to the Not Old Better Podcast, a podcast dedicated to your future. The Not Old Better Podcast is all about revealing your future, offering clarity, health, happiness, and all things senior geek chic. And now your host, Paul Vogelzang.
Well, welcome back, everybody. I am joined today by the incomparable Pat McGee. And many of you know Pat from the Pat McGee Band. The Pat McGee Band is renowned. They are going to be performing in Leesburg, Virginia, on April 9th at the Tally Ho Theater. And I've got the opportunity to talk to Pat a little bit, and we're going to even listen to a little bit of his music, the band's music. So please stay tuned to the very end when we listen to the song Rebecca. But for all of you who don't know, the Pat McGee Band has been around now for about 20 years. They've had some great hits, including Rebecca and Runaway, Must Have Been Love, and those songs are all going to be part of the reunion tour that's going to be, again, at the Tally Ho Theater on April 9th. But we're going to talk to Pat a little bit about the tour itself, about kind of his life on the road, get his sense as to kind of what to expect from the show, a little bit about the music industry, and then we'll talk a little bit about his new album, the Pat McGee Band, and the new album available on iTunes as well as Pat's website called McGee. So enjoy this interview. I think you'll really learn a lot, and of course Pat's music is fantastic. He talks about his influences from the Laurel Canyon, you know, kind of Eagles and Jackson Browne and Linda Ronstadt, Stone Ponies kind of era, as well as brings us very current. So again, enjoy. Pat McGee, it is a pleasure to talk to you. I know you are in Colorado right now. How's everything in Colorado?
Oh my God! Every time I go, I'm reminded of how glorious the weather can be. It's like, you know, it's almost got that thing where if you've ever been to San Diego and you have like a really, you know, pristine day in San Diego, it's about as good as that. And you know, I'm walking around in shorts and a t-shirt, and it's apparently snowed like 20 inches here 3 days ago. But yeah, it's a sunny, crisp Colorado morning, and we had a great, great show last night. We have another one tonight, and I fly on a red eye home to my real life for a day and a half until I get back in on the road for these PMV reunion shows, which brings us down to Leesburg, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I think that's really exciting. I think it it's a busy schedule for you right now. I know there's a lot of travel, but we are going to be thrilled to see you at the Tally Ho Theater on April 9th, coming up here soon as a Pat McGee Band reunion. I think that's really kind of an interesting way to kind of frame it, because you're playing several of these kind of reunion shows right now, right?
Yeah, we're doing, you know, it's the 20-year reunion this year. The band technically, you know, we always say we started when our drummer joined the band, which was March 1996. So, so it's hard for me to believe that it's actually been 20 years.
Yeah.
But somehow time has flown by, and here we are.
Yeah.
You know, I had been at it a few years before that. I put out a solo record previous to that, and it took about a year and a half to find the right guys. I had a very specific vision for what I wanted the band to sound like, and growing up a big fan of Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and James Taylor, and Allman Brothers, and Grateful Dead, I wanted to like merge all those feels into one band that had, you know, focus on the harmonies, but also had a percussion element to it. So big into Santana, and I just sort of wanted to have this very specific sound. And, you know, we're still to this day a band that's like had 5 rehearsals in 20 years. So it's really, I'm not sure that's something I should be proud of, but, you know, when we started, it was, you know, I came from loving all the bands in this sort of the jam world. And I wanted to try and insert singer-songwriter into that. So we're still cracking away at it. But yeah, these are going to be exciting shows. Just there's nothing like, I mean, if you put certain elements of that band back together, even though I play those songs with other fantastic musicians for the last 10 years, there's certain players play them a certain way, and they have a certain tone and a certain feel. You know, with John Small on bass, he's just a freaking monster. And Chardy on percussion, nobody plays just like Chardy. And even if, you know, it's just the presence of seeing him up there and, you know, having lost our drummer back in 2006, you know, that obviously was a blow to the band and slowed things down. And made us, you know, rethink everything. And but we've had, you know, from all of our touring days, we had so many really close friends and you know, that were drummers that have all offered to, like, man, if you guys ever do those shows, I'd love to play Chris's parts. And, you know, we've had several guys do it. And no one's, you know, no one better than the other. They've all just done an amazing job. But there's one drummer that I've been playing with more frequently, from Louisiana, called Nick Capdeville. And I know he's going to bring that energy that Chris had, which is, like, you know, over the top positivity. So that's going to be great to have behind us. And, you know, having Jonathan on keys, his voice, and Al Walsh, and then Brian Facchino, who joined the band later on. He's just, I mean, he's a world-class guitar player. And so we're sort of merging the 2000 Pat McGee band with the 1996 Pat McGee band in the one show, which will be fun. And you got Michael Geegan on saxophone, which I've known him as long as I've known anybody in the band. So sort of all the elements will be there.
Is that Michael that I hear on Take the Long Way?
It is. Yep. Yeah, that's right.
It'll be a treat to have you guys here locally, and certainly amazing and you know, I think sad for everybody about the passing of Chris, but you've had a chance recently to work with just an all-star group of musicians, and you know, I mean, drummer specifically, you know, Russ Kunkel and Lee Sklar, and you know, talk about that kind of that Laurel Canyon sound. I mean, you did it. You're doing this in a big way. I think this new record is fantastic. And so talk to us.
Oh,
I mean, this
so
must
much.
Have been a dream come true to work with these guys. Oh, yeah. Congratulations on this album.
It was beyond. I mean, honestly, the story on that was like, you know, here I am. I sort of didn't even realize, oh, this is my 10th record. I'm going to go write before I even wrote any songs. And, you know, with the music industry the way it is, and people essentially not even paying for music anymore.
Yeah.
It's a little disheartening as a songwriter and a guy who's got to go, you know, make a record and then wonder, is anyone going to care? Is anyone gonna, like, are they going to, you don't really know if they've downloaded it. You don't know if they've listened to it. Cause at least in the olden days, you'd leave Chicago after a show and be like, we sold 380 CDs last night. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
Or you'd get sales reports, and now it's like, you just have no idea. So, you know, as I sat down to write this record, I was kind of like, you know, what's it going to be? What direction? Because I've always sort of gone in different directions for each record. And one of these light bulb moments, I was at a friend's house and he was spinning vinyl. And I was like, man, why aren't I listening to vinyl at home? It's how I grew up listening to music. It was more so the fact that the entire record was playing. Like, you go to someone's house and it's rare that I feel like people socially are listening to, like, an entire album from an artist, as opposed to, like, hey, this is my party mix.
Yeah.
You know?
My playlist,
Yeah, your playlist. So, which is cool. I mean, look, we all make mixtapes. It's cool. But you also, at least back when I grew up, you really knew what song came after what song. And
yeah,
that whole vibe. So I got to I just said, I'm going out the next day and buying a record player, and I did. And from there, it was like this slope of now I have 500 vinyls sitting on my cabinet at home. And my wife's looking at me like, really? You're buying some more vinyl? you have this record 10 times over on your computer in every other format.
Yeah.
But, so I listened to these early records from Jackson Browne and James Taylor, and, it was just instantly taken back to why I love music in the first place and why I love these deep tracks that I hadn't listened to in a long time, admittedly, because of the fact that I was in that group of like, oh yeah, it's just, I don't take the time to put on a CD and sit down and listen to it. That's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. I have four kids at home. I have no time for that. But with vinyl, I just sort of, now it's become this thing where you just put it on and, you get back into why you fell in love with this music to begin with. And so when I was looking at the credits, I'm like, I forgot these same dudes played on all these records. I just sat there and was like, what a freaking band. I mean, they brought these songs to life. And so I said, all right, well, I'm going to write songs like this because this is what my earliest influence was. This is why I picked up a guitar and started singing. So forget any kind of radio hit. That's like the last thing I'm thinking of. I just want to focus on songwriting by myself, not fly somewhere and write with some fancy writer that had hits for whoever. Like, just do it on my own. And so I started that process and was like, well, maybe I could find a drummer that sounds like Russ Kunkel. That'd be amazing. If I could just get somebody that, like, played like him.
Yeah.
And I had a short list of guys, and one night I had the guts to email, like, everybody I knew in the music industry and ask, do you have any way to find Russ Kunkel? Sure enough, long story short, he did respond, and ironically, it went into my junk mail, which I never responded to him actually reaching out to me.
Huh.
I went on two months with moving in a different direction, and it was brought to my attention that I had ignored his request to talk to me. So I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God, how did I miss that?
Yeah.
So sure enough, there was that email sitting in my junk, and I reached out to him, and with one conversation, I was like, okay, this is what's happening. I'm going to make a record with Russ Kunkel.
Man.
And in that conversation, he said, I'm still playing with Lee and Waddy.
Mm-hmm.
Said, oh, that's cool. He's like, well, I'm sure they'd be interested in the project. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. I just thought I'd just get the drummer. I had no plans of getting the whole band. I didn't think it was fathomable, but thanks to Kickstarter fans and everyone that really chipped in, was like, it made the whole thing possible. And I mean, even on that record, having all those legendary players, the first guy I called when I found out I was doing this whole thing with these guys was Al Walsh, who was in my band and a huge James Taylor fan.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson, and he's, I knew he'd be like, you have got to be kidding me. So it's, a song like Take the Long Way has Al Walsh on it, has Michael Deegan on it, has Jonathan Williams. I mean, obviously you can't have two bass players, otherwise I'd find a place for John Small, but, the whole record was really like, even though it's my solo record, it still feels like, hey guys in the band, I was able to go and contact the band that actually influenced the whole thing from the beginning.
Yeah.
So it was a special thing, and so glad we did it. And they're willing to do it again, and I'm like, okay, let me write some more songs. So
I just answered
on that one, but
it's great to hear that whole story. That's music for my era too. I love the vinyl. I think it says something a lot about you, Pat. I think it says something that these guys were willing to step in and be the section and produce the music for somebody like you that really deserves this kind of attention and this kind of effort and energy along with your longtime band. And I'm thrilled for you. I think this is going to be a fantastic few shows. So tell us a little bit about, I mean, you mentioned kind of the music industry and everything that's been kind of going on. I mean, what are you doing these days around, kind of social media? And I mean, I follow you on Twitter, but I mean, are there things that you're trying to do to kind of keep all this going in the kind of the new era of music?
Yeah, you know, I do the best I can with the, by no means am I some sort of internet guru on social media. I certainly, you know, as every, you know, year flips, I'm like, hi, I need to get somebody that really knows this whole aspect of it. Because it's, I've had several managers and several agents, and it seems like everyone has not really put their finger on the exact pulse of how to find, you know, to me, with this record, I'm my goal is to, you know, I just want people to hear it. And I want people to hear it that were fans of James and Jackson and Little Feet and all, you know, there's a demographic out there that I think completely understands the importance of these players.
Yeah,
and some people,
right.
You know, I had a guy the other day say to me, I'm a huge fan of your band, dude. You're Rebecca's ringtone, dude. I've never met this guy in my life. And he was like, I randomly saw this guy somewhere and he's like, I'm the hugest fan. And he follows with, do you still make music?
Yeah,
you gotta be kidding me. It's like, this is the pulse. It's like, people just don't have time to like know what's up anymore. And it's not his fault or anyone's fault. It's just like the climate is like, it's been that way for, I feel like since the millennium. It's like, you know, everyone's getting their 15 minutes of fame. It's 15 seconds. And it's like, all right, what's next? Like, that's the way it is with Facebook. You're flying by it. Like, that's on, you know, if the thing doesn't load in 1 second, you're like, no, thanks.
Yeah.
So, to get people to pay attention, you know, to have this, well, this kid was like, didn't you make a record with, like a bluegrass band or something?
Wow.
I'm like, okay, here's the typical thing. It's like, some dude saw a picture with Leland Sklar with his really long beard and didn't know who he was and assumed I was making a record with the freaking Good Old Boys.
So he didn't know.
And he just, you know, he doesn't realize that this guy is a legend and I didn't make a bluegrass record. He just happens to look the part. But it is tricky to get it out there and, you know, have it be heard, and I appreciate, you know, any press I can get is wonderful. It's going to spread that word of like, hey, do you realize, hey, that the Section is still doing their thing, and, you know, they're able to take a song, those were like one or two takes a piece. I mean, it's like, I played a song one time, and you hit record, and it's like, there's your finished product.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting,
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead, Pat.
No, I was just saying, like, you know, in the climate of where most records are being made and on computers, like in basements and hotel rooms, and you can do it wherever. You don't really have to do what I did. But, you know, I sort of went the other direction of, like, you know, like someone coming out with a 57 Chevy right now. They're like, really? Why is that even? Why are you bothering? Like, we have electric cars now. What are you putting this thing on the road? So, and here I am recording to vinyl, to, you know, analog, to, and recording with the band that does it in one or two takes, as opposed to sitting there and meticulously perfecting the music on Pro Tools. Which, look, I've done that too, and it's a cool process, but this one just felt more organic and felt more real, and hopefully people want to hear it, they get that, you know?
Yeah, I just agree 100%. I'm just sitting here nodding. You know, I think that as vinyl continues to kind of get a little bit of a resurgence, some of that sound's going to return, and some of that nice mellowness, you know, sometimes people call it that tube sound, you know, it all, I think, is important from that time period. But I think you're right. I think there's a demographic out there that's eager to hear this stuff. And I think telling your story is important too, because there are obstacles for bands these days, and it's important to get that message out, but it's also important to hear that this amazing group of artists is right alongside you doing some stuff that you love, and that passion just comes out. I mean, that music is just, it's great. And I, again, my hat's off to you. I think this is going to be a fabulous set of shows. You mentioned your kids too. Are they old enough that you can travel with? I've seen some pictures, but are they in any place to travel with you at all these days?
You know, I just recently got back from the train, a band Train, who we've known forever.
Yeah.
They have a cruise they do called Sail Across the Sun. And I brought my daughters on that cruise. I have three girls, 14, 13, and 10. And
good.
And then I have a two-year-old son, which he doesn't need to go.
Yeah.
But that's like, you know, sort of the perfect gig to bring them to.
Yeah.
Because it's a vacation, and, you know, they get to see all these bands and meet all these other artists that otherwise they would have never met. And but bringing them on the road is tough. And logistically, it's like the band's already huge enough. I don't need to be toting my kids around. It's one thing if, you know, I had some hippie wife that wanted to jump in a Winnebago and drive around. That's not really the case. But they've seen a good bit of shows. And we're playing up in the Boston area, which I'm up in New England. So hopefully they're able to come out and see that lineup. Because honestly, I don't think my kids have ever seen the original lineup of the band. Something neat for them to see that, and you know, but you know, definitely times it's definitely different from 10 years ago when life was a little easier, and certainly 20 years ago when we first started, we felt like we were just a bunch of freaking Vikings, and it was crazy. We were on the road like 300 days a year.
Yeah, no, I think I read you guys had. You were literally doing those kind of days. I mean, it was like 300 nights you guys were doing during the course of a year.
Yeah, well, there was a stretch. I can't even believe it happened, but I looked at the calendar. I'm like, yep, that's true.
Yeah.
Did 98 shows in 103 days or something.
Yeah.
Like, who the hell can do that? Like, I do like 5 days in a row now. I'm like, I need a week off.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. You know, that's called being 21.
Yeah, yeah.
And being able to just get up and go every day and go all night. Crazy.
I think it's that passion. You know, it's what comes out, and you can hear it in the music. I the other thing I noticed too, and we certainly have a lot of Northern Virginia, fans and listeners that are military. You're a big supporter of the military, I know, and.
Of course.
I think we'll get a good crowd out there for you, you know, from that community.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah. We just had somebody reach out to me, and I had actually already heard from the other person, but we did a tour overseas, a very long story, but we get to play overseas and land on an aircraft carrier and play in the Middle East and Africa. And just amazing two different tours that we did over there, and got to meet some just the most stand-up individuals I've ever met in my life. And got back home. Some of them are still, you know, out there, but some of them are back in the D.C. area. And one of which is, like, a top brass commander guy who also happens to rip on guitar. So we played the Birchmere recently. And we dragged him up there to play with us. And, you know, he's just a... You know, you wouldn't know other than maybe the haircut that he's a military, like, just total badass. And he gets up there on guitar and, you know, tears it up. And, you know, we had a great time. And then he said he was walking around D.C. at this big Navy convention, and some girl stopped and says, "Don't you play with the Pasadena?" And he was with all these, like, generals and colonels. And they all looked at him like... He's like, "Here I am thinking this woman's going to stop me and talk about some big moment I had out at sea or whatever." He's a pilot. And she goes, "Are you in a band?" And he just sat in with us. He's like, "That was one of the greatest things in my life." And he was like, "Someone didn't recognize me for my military duty. It said I'm a rock and roll star." So it was kind of cool. But we've always had a real... You know, we did a tour of Greenland back in the day, and that sort of played on the sea to, like, we got to do as many of these as we possibly can. We played a Walter Reed, it's just, I didn't grow up in a military family, but my father was in Vietnam, and, you know, he missed the first 2 years of my sister's life,
mm-hmm.
and I can completely sympathize with what that feels like. Certainly, I wasn't stuck in Vietnam, you know, risking my life, but I was out on the road, and, you know, it's the sacrifice that these men and women are making overseas. Like, just right now today, I know exactly I know pretty much what's going on over in Djibouti, Africa, Bahrain, and And it's not exactly the best day these people are having. So, not to mention it's probably 130 degrees. So,
right.
It's just, it's crazy. But it's, you know, it puts things in perspective for sure.
Yeah, and again, I think it says an awful lot about you, Pat, is about who you are as a person. And I think this music, the crowd that's going to be there, all of this stuff, this reunion is really going to be very special. Tell us a little bit more about the show before we have to let you go.
Yeah, because I do have 10 records out. It's like, you know, regular shows these days have this, you know, it's kind of hard to make a set list sometimes with like a lot of material. But with these shows, we only play the material off the first three records because it's, you know, the original band, the original mm-hmm. music that got everything going.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, there's something just so fun to just focus on the old stuff and not have that, like, oh, I got to jam the new song down the throat or whatever it might be. There's just so much positivity to these reunions because everyone's, you know, it's not one of these reunions where you see these bands that may or may not be getting along and they're forced to do it and they're doing it for money and,
yeah.
you know, whatever. But we generally can't wait to get up there and do our thing. And everyone's gone off and done very successful in their other ventures. And some of them are still working on stuff. I mean, Jonathan's got a country record coming out pretty soon here that's just, like, incredible.
I mean,
he should be on the top of the charts for, especially when you got someone like Chris Stapleton that's out there like holding the torch for a little bit more of the outlaw country vibe. So Jonathan's got that, and Al has, he still has a band that he plays in up in Baltimore, and he also has like, he runs like the music for this church. It's like the largest church in the East Coast for, and their band is massive, and he's like the head of that. John works in a studio in Richmond and still records, and Charlie still plays. He lives in Atlanta, but we play as much as possible, and he also works for the company that does all the cruises that we do with Train and the Rock Boat.
Yeah, nice.
So everyone's still doing their thing, and you know, it's just what I'm really looking forward to the most about the Leesburg show is that we've been playing at the Birchmere forever. And those shows are always unique and special, and they're great. But they're sit-down listening room, you know, storytelling shows.
Mm-hmm.
And look, we've done a ton of them, and it'll always be what I return to. But it's going to be nice to play the Tally Ho because it's more of like a rock club. So
yeah.
If people are standing up, it's going to feel like yourself when we used to play the Bayou. You know? And so we won't have those people that say, why can't I dance? Like, you know, at the Birchmere, which the Birchmere is wonderful, and
oh, yeah.
It's not, you know, it kind of can't be compared to, and we'll be there, you know, later in the year doing another type of reunion with different spin on it. But the Tally Ho, I mean, I also recorded a record a block and a half from the Tally Ho.
Oh, wow.
And I used to walk by it all the time. This is before they reopened. So I've always, you know, I spent a lot of time in Leesburg just sort of putzing around, like killing time between, you know, vocal takes or whatever at the studio. So it's nice to be like, oh, I'm finally playing, like right next to where I made a record. It's kind of cool.
Well, that's great.
But yeah,
so
it'll be nice to turn things up.
Yeah, and that's April 9th, Leesburg at the Tally Ho Theater. And Pat and the band are going to do a reunion tour there. I think this is really going to be a great show. Pat McGee, thank you so much for joining us today. Really just a pleasure. I know you are on the road, and we just really, you know, think the world of your music, think the world of your spending a few minutes with us, and we're going to make sure to pay it off.
Oh, beautiful, man. I appreciate it. Thanks so much for the support. And, you know, I'm always psyched when, you know, like there's people at the show last night. Like, last time I saw you was in Phoenix in 1997. I'm like, I'm just psyched that you knew about the show in Denver last night. And you know, 17 years later, you're into it. So it's kind of cool that, you know, people are, you know, still, you know, the music and those shows back in the 90s really meant something to people. And we know we don't take that lightly. So we're excited to come out and relive those days for sure.
Yeah, well, thank you, Pat, and safe travels, and we will see you very soon.
All right, thanks so much.
Okay, Pat. Hey, thanks.
All right, later.
And now, as promised, from the Pat McGee Band off the album Shine, this is Rebecca.
Navigating you to a future of clarity, health, happiness, and senior geek chic. Choosy seniors choose better. The Not Old, Better podcast. Not old, better. You can also find us on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and SoundCloud. Check out the website, notoldbetter.com. For easy-to-find links to keep up with us on social media. If you like our show, please remember to rate us on iTunes and SoundCloud. The Not Old, Better podcast, sponsored by Senestet, is produced every month for your enjoyment and development. Show notes and links are found at notoldbetter.com/podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and be sure to add us to your favorite RSS feed. At iTunes or SoundCloud.